My message this morning, protecting your home from satanic invasion. Protecting your home from satanic invasion. Would you go to 1 Peter, please, the third chapter. 1 Peter, the third chapter. I don't know if you want to acknowledge it or not, but the devil is out to destroy your home. Now, if you're single here, and I mentioned married couples, and I mentioned family and home, remember that even if you're single, you have a home. Where your apartment is your home. Wherever you're at, that's your home. The enemy would like to destroy yours as well. You know that. Right? 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning to read verse 10 through 13, please. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you follow or be followers of that which is good? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I remind you that you put this in my heart. You burden my heart with this because we see something happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. We see something that alarms us and frightens us. Lord, that so many thousands of Christian homes, pastors' homes, ministers' homes are being broken. Absolutely devastated. Children that are going astray, mocking their parents, turning to drugs and alcohol. My God, I know that on this Easter Sunday, you have laid this on my heart. And I pray that you anoint me. Let the Spirit of the living God fall upon me. Let these words be like fiery arrows from the throne of God, Lord, that will pierce us and convict us and awaken us. And then pour in the oil of gladness when we seek to obey you. Lord, let no one turn a deaf ear to the word of the living God today. Lord, we want to stand before your throne. We're not afraid of reproof. We're not afraid of the word of God. The word of God is life. It will set us free. Touch me now. In Jesus' name, amen. The home of a former elder of this church was invaded by Satan and his home destroyed. He was a good teacher. Many of you remember his strong messages against sin. His wife, a beautiful wife. They had lovely children. They have lovely children. I didn't know that the years she was here in this church that their smile covered a disillusionment and fear and anxiety. I remember her telling me one day she was in a van outside and driving in a place full of children because her husband has a heart for people and would take in homeless people into the home. I remember them having up to 12, 15 people at a time in their home. And she said, my role, Pastor Dave, is to stand faithful by my husband. I thought that's a very sweet thing. Not knowing that underneath it all, there was a fire brewing. No man preached harder against sin than he did. But Satan invaded that home. God was moving among those children. There was happy laughter in that home for a season. I remember the two young men, especially how God seemed to be moving in such a wonderful way in that home. But now the children are all scattered because they're separated. Probably headed for divorce. The children are grieving. And that elder is living in sin. And the wife has had a nervous breakdown. Now, how did Satan plunder that home? How did the walls come down? How did Satan get access to those children? What happened? Where was the protection? Why was there no spiritual authority to cast the devil out of that home? At the first sign of invasion. I'm thinking of another case that I'm counseling this past week, in fact, with a missionary couple, 18 years married and 15 years in the mission field, living in suitcases and going to third world countries and giving their life, homeschooling a little child. the wife has lived as a faithful wife, a preacher. They both have ministered in this church. She's contacted over the years malaria, typhoid fever, and deadly bacteria. She's come home at times half dead from the mission field. The little child is one of the sweetest, quiet little children you'd ever meet. We financed them. We helped them build orphanage. A beautiful couple, seemingly dedicated and sacrificial, giving their life to the mission field, sacrificing everything, incredibly sacrificial. But now they're separated. This past month, he came to see me recently. He looked like the world had come to an end. He said, "I can't believe this is happening to me. And I can't believe my wife has become so discouraged she's drinking. And I can't believe my little daughter is in trauma because she's caught in the middle of this. My ministry overseas is in turmoil. My family's in turmoil. The enemy has invaded my home." And I sit there and watch and I listen, my heart breaking, because I thought that was one of the loveliest couples I could conceive. And folks, I had asked both of these families, just 5 years before, could you have ever believed if a prophet came to you and prophesied this would happen? Could you ever believe this would happen to you and your family? And in both cases, we would have laughed at it. We would have said impossible that this could ever happen to our family. The devil could come in and devastate and separate us and just take control of our family and our children. They say it was impossible. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan desires to have you. And I'm here to tell you, dad and mother, Satan is out to get your family, to destroy your marriage. There is a demonic invasion out of hell beyond anything any generation up to this time has ever seen. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall." To hear these couples say, "This could have never happened to us. It happened to others." We counseled others and say, we would say, "Thank God for what we have." There are many Christian homes, of course, that are devil-proof. And I thank God for these devil-proof homes. Because there's a praying dad, there's a praying mother, and the children, the house is in divine order, the home is in divine order, because they are on their knees. The devil has thrown everything out of hell, every weapon of hell at that family, and that family is an ark of safety. God, the devil can't touch that family. The devil can't touch those children. Doesn't mean they're immune to temptation. Doesn't mean they're immune to problems and sickness and disease. Not at all. But there's something about that family. The walls are up around that family. There are only two kinds of families, unwalled and walled. And in these families, the children are safe. The husband gives honor to his wife. Dad knows the secret of the blessing and favor and how it's obtained and protection for the household, because he walks in the fear of God and he sanctifies himself that his family may be sanctified. Believe me, there are reasons why there are godly homes and wicked homes being invaded by the enemy. There are cause factors. There are reasons. There are causes for it. First of all, let me consider, why do good homes go bad? Why are some homes without walls, totally unprotected, broken down? Why are so many Christian homes being devoured by the devil himself? Don't turn to it in Psalms, the 80th chapter. There's a very vivid picture of a satanic invasion of God's vineyard. A vineyard that he had planted. The psalmist said it was brought out of Egypt. That's the household of God. That's the family of God. Taken out of Egypt and planted in good soil, and it took deep roots, the scripture said. That's a type of a Christian family taken out of sin and planted in Christ and taking deep roots. And for a season, it's bringing forth fruit. It's a blessed family. The marriage is good. And this is the ark of safety. Everything seems to be fine. There's a wall around it. But for some reason, God Himself breaks down that wall. I'm reading Psalm 80, verse 12. Why hast thou broken down the hedge or the wall so that they which pass by do pluck her? And the picture is that this vineyard that was protected by a wall, God tore down that wall. The wall and the hedge is gone. And now every demon power around comes and plucks. The word pluck there means to pull and seduce. And folks, when the wall comes down around your house, the pluckers come. That could be demonic music. This can be pornography. This can be the control of the crowds around them, ungodly friends coming and pulling and tugging at your children. The tuggers, the pullers come and tug and pull at the wife, tug and pull at the husband. Some past temptation that comes back upon the man. And there's something happening in this home. The enemy is coming in. The walls are down now. The pluckers are moving in. And everywhere you turn, there's a tug, there's a pull toward the world. And ungodly things. Why hast thou broken down the hedge so that all they that pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the woods now wasted. The boar is a wild pig. A wild pig is running loose. A wild beast of the field is now devouring everything in sight, according to verse 13. That's the devil himself. That's a satanic invasion. And running loose through the home, causing havoc and destruction. And now dad and mom are arguing and the children are in trauma. I have been in homes where there's such turmoil and where husbands and wives are fighting so much, little children go and grab their parents' legs and try to pull them apart and scream. The boar of the woods now wasted. This is a picture of a Christian home that's now burned with fire, feeding on tears, a strife unto the neighbors. Enemies are laughing at them. Prayers are hindered. God has turned away His face. And why is the wall down? Why is this happening in this family that once prayed? This family, what has happened? This whole episode in the 80th chapter is referring to something that happened in 2 Kings 15, 27 through 28. And what it is, Israel did that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord. Sin had crept in. There was sin in the camp. There was something filthy going on. Because God said He wanted to come and remove the filth from Israel. A Christian home is the Lord's vineyard. In fact, it's called His pleasant plant. You see, the church is made up of many of these little vineyards. And in Isaiah chapter 5, God has given us a powerful warning about the awful consequences of leaven of sin that creeps into a home. I want you to go to Isaiah, 4th chapter with me, please. Beloved, look at me for just a moment. You have got to hear me. I'm speaking to you a word from the throne of God. I'm telling you now, in this day and age, when we have such filth on television and internet and such pornography and such sin creeping into our homes, when 90% of the content of the internet is now pornography, when we've got, I think they call it, I don't have internet in my home, I don't have a computer. And I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm telling you now, what I heard in the papers, Yahoo is now, this is supposed to be one of the more legitimate websites now pushing pornography. Folks, you've got to hear what the Spirit is saying. Isaiah, the 4th chapter. I hope you have your Bibles and ready to follow me. The 4th chapter of Isaiah, verses 4 through 6. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, The Lord shall create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of the fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. That's as far as I want to read. The Scripture says in chapter 5, look at chapter 5 if you will please, turn over to chapter 5, verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. If there shall come up briars and thorns, I shall also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The men of Judah is pleasant plant. They look for judgment, but behold oppression for righteousness. But behold a cry. Do you understand that God is tearing down this wall, this home? And when you look back, it's because the Bible said they did that which was evil before the face of God. There was evil in the home. There was somebody in this house bringing forth, the Scripture said, wild grapes, verses 2 and 4. Those are poisoned grapes. Now, see, this is the house of Israel. This is the type of your home and mine. And the Lord said, I came looking for good fruit. I came looking for good fruit, but I discovered poison fruit in that home. I discovered something poisonous that was poisoning the whole household. Wild grapes. And in Isaiah 3:5, the result of it was that the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. That when this poison is in the home, the children rise up in rebellion. They rise up against their father and mother, grandfather and grandparents. They rise up. There's rebellion because there's poison. There is sin in the household. A hidden wickedness. And down comes the protective wall. And as a result, chaos and disorder takes over. Woe unto the wicked. Isaiah 3:11. It shall be ill with him. And that word ill, sorrow, sadness, trouble. For the reward of his hands shall be given to him. He's saying when there's sin in dad's life, when there's sin in mother's life, and he's talking about those who are leaders in the home, he directs it completely to leaders of the home. That's dad, that's mother. It's even grandma and grandpa. These are pastor dads, deacon dads, layman dads, and mothers, wives. You see, God took down the wall because He had dealt with this sin. He had dealt with this iniquity that was in the home. He sent prophets. He sent loving messages. Time after time after time, He warned. He did it in love. He did it in compassion. He sent conviction. He sent wooings by the Holy Spirit. In fact, God says, "What more could I have done for my vineyard that I've not already done?" He said, "There's nothing else in my arsenal of weapons or love. I have done everything that God, who is infinite and all-powerful, I've done everything to break this man of his sin, this woman of her compromise, because they're sending their kids to hell and they're bringing chaos on their family." Folks, don't blame television. Don't blame the school. It's dad, it's mother, it's the home. So God says, "I'll tear down the wall. I'll remove the hedge." Sin in the life of a dad or mother turns them into cowards, weaklings, wimps against the devil. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." You show me dads and mothers that are praying and seeking God and walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I'll show you parents that are bold, don't stand up to any demon and devil out of hell. They're bold as a lion. They don't fear the devil. They don't fear losing their families. If everything I've been talking about is in 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. Turn to 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And I'll show you very vividly what I'm talking about. It's very clearly illustrated in this passage. 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, first four verses. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, now Ben-Hadad is a type of Satan himself, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. Now that's the principalities and powers of darkness aligned with the devil. They went up and besieged Samaria. Samaria at the time, that was Israel, God's people, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, unto the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also thy children, even the goodness they're mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I'm thine, and all I have. Devil comes and says, Look, I want your wife. And I'm going to take your kids. And I'm going to take your livelihood. I'm going to take everything you have. It's mine. Ahab was a man, the scripture said, who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And that phrase pops up time and time again wherever there's disintegration and chaos. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. There was something filthy. There was sin. And this wicked man is a coward. He has no resources, no spiritual authority. And here comes the devil and his principalities and powers and gives us a summons. He says, I'm going to take your wife. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to take everything you have and leave you penniless. And Ahab said, Everything I have is yours. It's all yours. Folks, the devil stands outside the door of your house, and that's the summons he's given every Christian home. He'll come at you and say, I want your marriage. I'm going to destroy your marriage. I want your children. And I want everything you have. I'm going to destroy you. Because he's a destroyer, the Bible said. He's a liar. And he will come at you saying, I want everything that you have. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. The king of Israel said, My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and I all that I have. And he goes to his princes. Ahab goes to his counselors. And he says, This man, speaking of Ben-Hadad, sent unto me for my wives and for my children, for my silver and my gold, and I denied him not. Do you have the power, Dad, Mother, to deny the devil your wife, your kids, your livelihood, and everything you stood for all your years, everything you are? You can sell it out to the devil if you just hang on to your sin. You can just sell it all to the devil. You have no power. You have no spiritual authority. You have nothing. The devil can come into your home and rape it and take everything you have. Because you have no spiritual authority. Because of a sin that has not been forsaken. Because he did that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord. If God hadn't sent a prophet to intervene, the devil would have come right, Ben-Hadad would have come right into Ahab's house and laughed and mocked. They would have come in and he said, I'm going to take everything that is good to you, everything that pleases you, I'm going to take. I'm going to send my messengers, I'm going to send my servants into your house. I'm going to take everything I like and everything you like, I'm going to rob you blind. And if God didn't get angry at that statement, if God hadn't sent a prophet that man would have stood there and watched as they came in and his children are taken off weeping, his wives and his concubines dragged off weeping, knowing that they're going to a king's tent and given to those soldiers to be raped. You see, this man Ahab, God gives him another chance, and the prophet says, I'm going to deal with Ben-Hadad because he's speaking against me, not just you. There was a victory given, but then at the end, he takes Ben-Hadad up into his chariot and calls him his brother. Because you see, he has an affinity with the world. He has this hankering after the things of the world. He brings him up into his chariot and makes a covenant with him. And another prophet comes to him and said, in essence, the reason that your family has come to this point, he said, and because of what you've done, it's going to destroy you and you're going to lose everything after all. You're going to lose it all because you've lightly esteemed the word of God and you hate the prophetic word. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. There are pastors like this. There are ministers who hate what they call the doomsday message. They don't want to hear anything negative. Folks, all you hear in most churches now is the love of God. I preach the love of God. We preach it here. We preach the grace of God. We preach powerfully on the grace of God. And the love of God is a loving God. But he said not only is he a loving God, he's a severe God, knowing the loving kindness and the severity of God. And many are not hearing of the severity of God, and they're losing their homes and are getting divorced because there's not a voice to put them under conviction. There are times when in my early ministry there was compromise creeping into my life, and I would to God there had been somebody standing in a pulpit with conviction and been alone with God and pointed a finger at me and say, you're the man. And I could have fallen on my knees and repented and avoided so much hardship in my life. Go to 1 Peter, begin the 3rd chapter. You've been there before. We'll go right back to it. Now, maybe some of you don't like this kind of preaching. You may be sorry you came here this morning. But I'm telling you something. You just may get your family saved from hell before this day is over. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 10 again. He that will love life, and look at this, and see good days. And see good days. Folks, I want to talk to you now about why some Christian homes continue safe and protected. I've told you about why the walls go down and why some good homes go bad. It's because of sin. It's that simple. There's sin in the camp. Now let me show you how a family stays safe and protected. And it's right here. Verse 10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain and stop his tongue from evil, from gossip, and his lips, they speak no guile. He's not a gossiper. This man is speaking truth and righteousness. And I'll tell you what, you only get that when you're shut in with God. Let him eschew. Let him run from evil and do good. Let him seek peace. You see, this man's a praying man in this family. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Again, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But if you do that which is right, read it. Who is he that can harm you? Who's the devil? Well, the principalities and powers can harm your home if you do that which is right before God. They shall see good days. if you be followers of that which is good. Now, you see, Moses was the father of the house of Israel. He delivered his household from the power and control of demon powers because Pharaoh, again, is a type of sin. The captivity in Egypt represents the devil's attempt to enslave the families of God. But you see, when Moses came on the scene, Israel's house was in chaos. There was no divine order. The children had forsaken the faith of their fathers. There was rebellion, idolatry, and lust on every side. Fathers were no longer seeking Jehovah God. The fathers and the mothers had given up hope. There was nothing but gloom and despair. Their households were households of sorrow and fear and despair. And sin had brought them so low. But what does it take to get a low family that's in chaos, out of divine order? How do you get that family back in divine order under the blessing of God? Because you see, there may be some of you sitting here right now and say, Pastor David, I love the Lord, but my house is not in order. You may be sitting here saying, my husband is not saved or my wife is not saved. You may be sitting here this morning saying, my children are not in divine order. I can see what's happening to my children. I see the world tugging and pulling at them. And you honestly sit here listening to this morning and say, I am not in control and I don't have the authority. My children don't listen to me. The young rise up against the ancient. I tell you, 50 years old now, they think you're ancient, your kids. How do you get that house back in divine order? This is what Moses faced. His household was absolutely out of order. His household full of idolatry and sin and corruption that the devil had brought in. He'd invaded the house of God. Destroyed everything in sight. In fact, one of the prophets said, he took an axe and he chopped everything that was holy and righteous. Chopped it down. Let me tell you what it takes. It takes a heartbroken, weeping, interceding father to plead with God for every member of his family. Now, I'm going to get deadly honest with you on this now. When I go overseas, pastors everywhere ask me to bring forth messages. I'm going in June, the Lord willing, into Helsinki and to St. Petersburg, Russia, and to Moscow for ministers' conferences and crusades for 3 weeks. And in St. Petersburg, they give me a list of what they want me to preach. And everywhere I go now, they're saying, please bring a message on how to keep ministerial marriages together because there's disintegration with so many pastors' families now. And how to keep the children and how to deal with family issues. And you know, I struggled with that. That's what I need. I need a message on, you know, all the steps and the principles. But I'm going to tell you something. When the devil has your kids by the nape of the neck, and when the devil's tampering with your marriage, and all hell's broken loose, you don't need 6 steps. You don't need a sermon on how to. You need a down on your face encounter with God. You need to get desperate before God. You don't need to sit and try to have some pastor give you a sermon that'll give you the steps. Not at all. The bookstores are full of how to have a happy marriage and how to keep your kids in control. And most of it doesn't work and written by singles. Please go to Exodus 32. Now, all you single people, the time is coming God, is your faithful, He'll bring a mate into your life. But see, even if that doesn't happen, the devil's still out to come into your home and destroy you. So these things are not just for married couples that I speak of. Now, in Exodus 32, starting in verse 30. Now, you see, they had erected a molten calf, and folks, sin had absolutely, Satan had moved right into the camp, and in that, he's possessor of that golden calf, and really, they're worshiping the devil. They're worshiping Satan. And here in verse 30, it came to pass on the morrow, verse 30, that Moses said unto the people, "You've sinned a great sin. Now I will go unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "All this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. And yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Blot me out. Look at me, please. Here's a father of Israel. These are his spiritual children. It's a type of you, Dad, Mother. If you've ever an unsaved son or daughter, when is the last time you got so desperate before God? Knowing your children are going to go to hell unless God intervenes. When is the last time you got so desperate before God that you got on your face and you prayed, "Oh God, my family is sin. My family's in disarray. And if you're going to blot them out of your book, then blot me out if they can't be saved." Can you imagine this holy, meek man saying, "God, I can't go to heaven without them. If they're going to be damned, I am so sick in my soul and I'm so desperate before you. Kill me! Damn me! But don't damn my kids." And you say your kids are unsaved and you're sitting there in front of a TV set laughing. You say you want your family saved. You think your love, you think by just taking them to their dances or taking them to their classes and that you're good to them, you're kind, you're going to keep them. No, you're not. The devil's going to get them before it's all over. Because they have no weapons. They have no praying dad. They have no praying mother. They have no spiritual resources. They are no match for the devil in this day and age and the temptations that are coming. Seen so many backslidden dads and mothers losing the touch of God, losing the fire of God. And I weep over them because there's no desperation. And for some reason, they have hardened their hearts before God. Oh, what a horror. What a tragedy. That there's not this burden of the Lord. Because you see them every day. You know, they go their way and you don't think of eternal things. But one of these days, folks, it's all going to end. One of these days, the trumpet of God is going to sound. We're all going to stand before God, including your children. And you're going to stand there by your children. Chapter 33. Verses 7 to 10. What's it take? What's it going to take to get your family right? And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. Came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar at the tabernacle, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent. These people that were bound by the devil are now worshipping every man in his tent. Why are the children worshiping now? Why? Because they see their spiritual father going out. He said, it can't be business as usual now. We're not going through the temple rituals anymore. And he takes the tent and tabernacle as far as he can out by himself. And every day he goes. And he prays. They hear him out in the distance crying out to God on their behalf. And the scripture said when they heard him pray, they prayed. They worshiped. Because Dad was worshiping. Father was worshiping. Dad, when's the last time your kids have heard you on your face in a secret closet seeking the face of God? When's the last time they've heard that fire coming out of a secret closet of prayer? When have they seen you with your Bible rather in front of your TV set? Folks, I was raised with a praying dad and a praying mother. My mother prayed up in my room on the third floor in the attic. And with the window open because she knew I was downstairs. I was out in the yard praying. She named my name. I could hear it. My dad, I could hear him groaning in the secret closet of prayer. Groaning and praying for hours. Saying, keep your hand on my boys. God, you know what David's going to do. You keep him. You anoint him. Call him to preach. Use him mightily. My dad, I could hear his word. I still hear my dad groan before God for the family. And my kids have heard their praying dad. My kids know. So much so that when we were on vacation recently, and I hadn't, for it was toward evening, and I hadn't prayed yet, my little granddaughter crawls up and my niece said, Granddad, isn't it time to go pray? She knew. I've got to move quickly now. Moses fasted. And he prayed. I tell you, if I had an unsaved child, I would be on my face fasting and praying before God. You see, something incredible happens to a man or woman that's in constant communion with the Lord. God speaks to them face to face, the scripture says. And it produces a confidence and a faith. It makes you sensitive to the voice of God. And it, more than anything, it makes you absolutely fearless against the devil. Absolutely fearless about Satan and anything he can do. Now remember, 8 plagues come to Israel, to Egypt. Pharaoh calls for Moses. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are those that are going with you? And Moses said, because Moses had been praying. Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, our flocks, and our herds. Everything goes. Devil, I'm taking back everything you stole from us. My babies, my grandma, my grandpa. I'm taking everything. The devil and Pharaoh replied, No, only the men go. The children are mine. All you fathers, you go on, seek the Lord, but your children remain my slaves. Exodus 10:11. So God says, just wait. And the 9th plague of darkness that could be felt. And again Moses is called. And he says, Pharaoh says, all right. You men go and take your wives, and I'm going to let you take your children, but let me have your flocks and their herds. Moses said, no, devil. And listen to his words. Not one hoof remains. Not one hoof. You can't even have a leg of one of my lambs. Everything goes. You see, when you're on your knees and you're walking with God and you're dealing with the sin in your life through the power of the Holy Ghost and getting dominion through His power, you don't have to compromise with the devil. You don't make deals with the devil. You go and you reclaim all from the devil. Your children, your wife, your home, everything. Pharaoh says, no, nothing goes. And he said, get out of here, you're a dead man. And he gets out, and God says, no, you're not the dead man, he's the dead man. Because what I'm going to do next, and what did he do next? A lamb was slain. And you talk about protection of a home, and here it is, where it all climaxes. The spiritual father says, now we're going to get really secure. We're no demon, no devil, no man. Nothing can hurt you, and you're going to be eternally secure here. Take the lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. Hallelujah. Folks, that was the father's job. That was the father's job. He slew the lamb, took the blood, put it in a basin, took some hyssop, sprayed it across the top and the sides, the post of the door. And when death and hell came moving through, that house was safe. Everybody in the house, the dogs were safe, the cats were safe, everybody was safe, everybody was safe. All the animals. Not a cow died. Not a lamb died. Nothing that had died. If there was a fly in the house, it didn't die. Oh, folks, we are secured by the blood. By the blood of the lamb. The devil can't cross the blood. Let me close with an illustration, please. A true story. In fact, I talked to this woman yesterday. Pastor's wife. She's married to a pastor. Her father and mother were in the ministry for 50 years. This man, near 70 years of age, her father, pastored a number of Pentecostal churches. In fact, her father, when I was a younger preacher, he was in it somewhere in the West. I won't name the state, but he was the state youth evangelist. He preached a hard message against sin. Very hard message against sin. He's always preaching a hard message against sin. There was no grace. The last 2 years of his life, he changed. An evil presence came into the home. And his appearance became so evil, his daughter said, Pastor Dave, I couldn't look into his eyes. There was something so wrong. Whole family knew it. Mom knew it. We didn't know what was wrong. He stood up in the church and he said, in fact, he was pastoring at this time. He just rambled. He had no life. There was nothing but death in him. She said, we didn't know until it was too late that our preacher dad was living a double life all those years. We didn't know why we had to move every 2 years until later to find out. It's because he was a pedophile, a molester of children. It all came to a head. She said, I didn't know till after the tragedy that he had molested my brother when he was a child. And he became a homosexual. And she said, we found out that he was picking up a three-year-old grandson and fondling him, his own grandson. So the daughter was berserk. She said, I can't let this go. And she confronted her father. She said, something's wrong, Dad. There's sin in your life. And it's been there for years and you never dealt with it. Now it's controlled you. Now I know why we've moved all these years, every 2 years, because you were running away from exposure. He got so angry, went into a rage. That night at 4 o'clock in the morning, got a shotgun. Went into his wife's bedroom at 4 a.m. and shot her dead. Went out in the yard, put the gun to his head, and killed himself. They laid in blood for hours while the police came and investigated. The son had a nervous breakdown. The daughter blamed herself for confronting her father, and now he's killed both mom and himself. An absolute chaos. Absolute ruin in that family. Everything was invaded by the devil out of hell. When Gwen showed me the letter, I was so moved, I called her up and I said, this must have been such a trauma. Now, this happened 5 years ago. You see, that's the one side, how good families can go bad. Did that which is evil beside the Lord, before the Lord. There was a filthy sin. It was never dealt with. And it brought chaos, death, and destruction. But she said, I want to tell you something, Pastor Dave. I made up my mind. In fact, you know, her husband is a preacher. The week before this happened, preached in Dad's church. It said, God's going to expose sin. He pointed a finger right at him just a week before and said, if this man has sin in his life, God's going to judge him. A week later, he's dead. And she said, "And here's the other side that I'm trying to tell you. Here's how divine order comes." She knew there was opportunity. She knew that if she didn't forgive this man, if she and her husband didn't deal with sin, and if she and her husband weren't fasting and praying, that curse would move on. Because you see, his father had molested him. The grandfather had molested her preacher dad. And it was moving right down through the family. And she said, I'm not going to have that. And they began to seek God. And I want to tell you, God began to move and put that house in order. She and her husband are on fire for the Lord. Her homosexual brother got right with God. He's married and has 2 children going to church. And her own family is being blessed of God. She said, I have forgiven. It still hurts, but I have forgiven. And she said, I'm not going that way. The devil's not going to have my family. He took my dad's family, but he's not going to have my family. He's not going to have my children or my family. And God is blessing. And she said, Brother Dave, we fast every week. We pray and seek the face of God. And we trust Him now. And we've turned everything to Him. And now her house beautifully coming in divine order. Folks, there it is. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Gwen and I were out in the country yesterday, sitting in 2 chairs under the sunlight. And absolutely overwhelmed beyond words of the blessing of God. Between us, all our children serving the Lord, their husbands and wives, all of our grandchildren, blessed beyond measure. And I know in my heart, there were times in crisis way back. If I hadn't been desperate before God, if I hadn't laid a besetting sin or two before the Lord and have Him dealt with it, I know what would have happened. Today I'd be pumping gas in a gas station. I'm not saying that's a demeaning job, but it's not the ministry. My children would all be divorced. There'd be nothing but hell. And I tremble over that. And you can make the mistake. It hangs on you getting serious with God about those hidden things that are in the life. So that there's no part dark. And it has this decisions made. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to have a time every day that I get alone with God. I have a time every day. You say, I have a job I have to go to. I don't have the time. Oh, yes, you do. You just don't take the time. You have the time. It's important that you take the time. And every day, don't miss a day till you are praying for your children. If you can't go to some room, pray while you're driving. Pray wherever you're at. Just pray. Stop. Just stop and say, Father, in Jesus' name, keep my children from the wicked one. Keep my family from the wicked one. And pray and believe God. And see what happens. Stand, please. I usually don't preach this long, but I had to take time to get this off my heart. Oh, God. Precious Jesus. Oh, Lord. I'm fighting for families. Lord, you put this in my heart. You're such a merciful God. Lord, if our house was on fire, and there were people inside, and I'm standing on the curb, I would have to scream, fire, get out. And Lord, I've been screaming today. But I know that scream, that cry has come from your heart. It's come from your heart, oh God. I'm asking you to heal homes this morning. I'm asking by your Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, because of your great love. I want you to heal homes and hearts. I want you to heal marriages between husbands and wives. I want you, Lord, to tear down those hindering walls and put up. You said, I'll be a wall around your family. I'll be a fire, a wall of fire round about you and the glory therein. Lord, build the walls and tear down the false walls, we pray. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to open the altars here and in the annex. And open up the altar for those who heard a word from the Lord and say, Pastor Dave, the Holy Ghost has spoken to my heart. God's dealing with me. I don't know what that's about. Now, if you're backslidden, if there's sin, if your home needs a miracle, there has to be something happening in your home. Just get out of your seat. Now, some of you are backslidden. Listen to me, please. Upstairs, downstairs, and wherever I'm on screen. Some of you are backslidden. You don't have the walk with God you did. And you're slowly drifting away from the Lord. I'm telling you, this is the day. This is the day. Not only God to deal with you, but He'll work in your family. There'll be a change that has to happen in you. It means some husbands and wives need to come. Or husbands alone or wives, whatever it may take. Get right with God. Those who don't know Jesus, come with these that are coming. Wherever you're at, upstairs, the balcony, go the stairs down. I'll tell you what, in the annex, just go between the screens and just move forward. You may be facing the wall, but I want to be praying for you in just a moment. I want to pray for a miracle in your life. Wherever you're at, obey the Lord. Make room. Please move in as close as you can. Make room for those that are coming. We're going to pray for families. We're going to pray for the backslidden, those who have been drifting from the Lord, those who don't know Jesus. I speak to the whole congregation. In the annexes, the overflows, and here in the main auditorium. Please, listen to me. When a preacher preaches like this morning, as what you've heard, and the Holy Ghost convicts you, you feel the pangs of conviction, the worst thing you can do is just slough it off. The worst thing you can do is just push it aside. No, let it change you. Let it come into your heart and say, I am guilty. I've not been seeking God for my family as I should. Let it get a hold of you. Let it convict you. Let that conviction do its sweet work in your heart. Let it do it. And see what God will do for you. I know many of you are taking it, receiving it to your heart. And you that came forward and in the annex, those who stepped forward between the screens. And perhaps you can't see my face, but you hear my words now. And I want you to listen closely because I believe the Holy Spirit, in His great love, wants to minister to you right now. He wants to assure you that He's more willing to give to you than you are to receive from Him. To give you a safe house. To give you a miracle in your home. But first of all, to bring you to a place of peace and rest in Him. First of all, to deal with anything in your heart that's unlike Him. It's just a matter of being honest with Him. Lord, I'm not going to hide anything from You. But I've got to seek You. Listen to me, please. If you have a sin that's laid hold of you and you can't seem to get victory, You have got to go to God regularly, every day, in faith, and claim His Word and ask Him for supernatural help. If you, through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, if you forsake sin through the power of the Holy Ghost, you shall live. If you mortify or kill the deeds of your flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, but when you go to prayer, you say, Lord, this is beyond me. It's too much for me, but I'm coming to you. As long as you keep coming, as long as you hate your sin, God's going to bring you victory. The victory is going to come. The flesh may still battle against the Spirit. There will always be that flesh rise up. But the Holy Spirit will come and overpower that flesh. The Holy Spirit will come and give you power and subdue that flesh. So you don't have to live in condemnation and fear. And you can say, Jesus, I love you. And folks, He'll hear your cry. Even if you're living in sin right now, if your heart's ready, He'll hear your cry. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. And He'll also answer your prayer that will start moving in your family. Some of you have a wife that needs to be saved. Some of you have a husband that needs to be saved. Some of you have children that need to be saved. But most of us here need a work done in our own hearts, don't we? Will you pray this prayer with me right now? Right from the bottom of your heart. And in the annex, will you pray this too? Just close yourself in with Jesus right now and pray this. Lord Jesus, I want to be honest with you. I come humbly to your throne. And I admit that I've sinned. I acknowledge that I've sinned. Lord, I need a miracle. I need deliverance. I need the power of sin broken in my life. And I can't do it myself. But I trust your word. You've made me a promise that you would put your Spirit in my heart and the fear of God in my heart. And you would cause me to come near you. You would cause me to do what is right. Through the Spirit of God taking control of my life. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. I come to the blood. Sprinkle your blood on my heart. Blot out all my sins, all my transgressions. I believe your word. I receive forgiveness. I receive power from on high. Now, Lord, work a miracle in my life and in my home, in my family. Now, let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I know you heard the heart cry of everyone who prayed. Now, Lord Jesus, we know that when you begin a good work, you will complete it. You will not go halfway with us. You'll take us all the way. Lord, create a hunger and a thirst to seek you. Lord, we've been coming week after week saying it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to put away the things of this world. It's time, Lord, to turn off the TV and go pray. It's time to get into the Word of God and build up our hearts in faith. It's time. Lord, time is slipping away. And Lord, many of our families are being invaded by hell. Oh God, put up a wall around the families and around the homes of those who are trusting you for deliverance today. We believe you for it. We trust you. Lord, there are many who didn't step forward, but you're dealing in their hearts about the need to get closer to you, Lord, and to examine themselves to see if they've drifted just a bit, if they're just drifting away and getting lazy about your things. God, forgive. Lord, that's dangerous. That's a terrible thing to happen to a believer. Lord, bring us back to your first love. Bring us back to our first love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. I want you to just raise your hands and thank Jesus for answering prayer right now. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy and goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Beloved, my closing words to you, what you heard this morning is really mercy preaching. It's God having mercy on us. And I'll tell you what, if you obey God and you see God doing something in your family, one day, You'll hug me all through eternity. I mean, you'll find me. You'll have to go through the crowd. You'll find me. And we're going to know each other in heaven. And we're going to talk about services like this.
Amen.
And then you'll say, meet my son. Here's my daughter. He's my husband.
Amen.
Now, you won't be married then because there's no marriage. But you're still going to know each other and you're going to rejoice. There are going to be relationships that are so beyond anything we know. And we're just going to lift our hands and run to Jesus and thank Him and bless Him.
Amen.
While some people walk out and say that was gloom and doom, you're going to say, well, it got my family to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Three o'clock and 6 o'clock. Now, may I remind all of our visitors, immediately after we dismiss, over here, exit 8 and 9. Go through those doors in the ancillary building and in the annex room 204. Please, a free preaching tape, a free book, free desserts, and a free conversation with a lot of godly people. Look, you're not allowed to leave this church yet until you say can to at least 10 people. Count them. God bless you. Give grace and love to somebody. Spread the love of Jesus to at least 10 people. God bless you.